It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Louisa Chu and Monica Eng are going to be here with podcast Chewing. Did I say that in order? Louisa Chu, yeah, Monica Eng got it, Chewing. The podcast, they'll both in. We'll talk about some issues about GMOs, also about dress codes in Chicago restaurants, and also play the game, What Would You Eat? It's a fun little game we play. And also coming up at 10 o'clock, we will have live Irish music. That's right. No frying pan tonight. Live Irish music. Cormac McCarthy, who's playing at the Martyrs. He's playing at Martyrs coming up on Monday. So we'll have the band in here in the 10 o'clock hour. The Black Ensemble Theater is celebrating its 40th anniversary here in Chicago. Theater's presented some amazing award-winning work over those four decades, including the Jackie Wilson story, Doo-Wop, Shoo-Bop, and the Marvin Gaye story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend, which has been remounted this summer at the theater in Uptown, and it runs to July 10th. The founder of the theater company is Jackie Taylor. Taylor started as an actress in movies like Cooley High, but opened up Black Ensemble Theater on 1429 North Wells Street in 1976 to produce plays that had positive roles for African Americans. Taylor moved the theater to Uptown, and since 2011, to a brand new space that they built in the 4400 block of Clark Street. Jackie Taylor grew up here in Chicago. She's been in theater for 40 years here, and she's my guest tonight at the big table. Jackie Taylor, great to see you.
It's wonderful to be here. Yay!
Let's first talk. I mean, this is a great year for you because it's almost like a greatest hits year for you to celebrate the 40th anniversary. And Let's talk about the Marvin Gaye show. You guys have done such great work with musical. They're not necessarily musicals, but they're musical celebrations.
Right, absolutely. And you know, we pick icons because who doesn't love an icon? Who doesn't want to know all those dirty little secrets as you're listening to the music? And we use music because music is transformational. You know, the mission of the Black Ensemble Theater is to eradicate racism. And we decided, hey, let's do this in a way, let's not recreate the wheel. What already crosses cultural boundaries? And the answer, of course, is music. So a lot of our shows are based on music.
For your 40th anniversary season, what was the criteria to bring the shows back? Was it the best? I mean, you said it's the greatest hits, but what were the greatest hits for Black Ensemble Theater? 40 years of shows.
40 years. I can't believe it. It was just like yesterday. I was only two when it all started. You know, it's really based off of what is very most popular. And then, I mean, to be realistic and down to earth, you know, what makes the most money? Because
yeah, it's theater.
You got to stay alive. So it's economics.
Let's talk about the Marvin Gaye show. What made you come up with a show about Marvin Gaye and his life?
You know, in actuality, I didn't come up with the show. His sisters came to me. And they asked me to produce a play about their brother. Hmm. And I, of course, you know, I was very excited. But the kind of play that they wanted me to produce was totally out of my character. They wanted me to highlight the murder. They wanted me to talk about, to highlight all the negative aspects and to make it very...
A lot of the controversy that surrounds Marvin Gaye.
And right? I just couldn't do it. So I decided
Why couldn't you do it? I
couldn't write that. If you want to see that, turn on the TV or look at the newspaper, you'll get it every day. That's not my style. I want to uplift you. I want to show you how joyful and positive life can be. And it's enough degradation in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't need to add to it, and I will not add to it. So I decided, no, I'm not doing that. I am going to write my own Marvin Gaye story, and it's not going to be anything about what you all want me to write it about. And they tried to sue me, but you know, Marvin Gaye is a public figure, so anybody can write.
What was so different about what you were putting on stage? Was just the idea that you weren't telling that story?
They wanted me to tell their story. And I didn't want to tell their story.
There you go. For the music, I mean, obviously it plays a big role. When you're casting a show, when you're putting together a show about Marvin Gaye and his contributions to the music landscape, one of the most iconic musician of all time.
Yes.
What do you look for?
Well, of course, you have to look for someone who looks like and sounds like and talks like Marvin Gaye. Hey, that's the first thing.
Is that easier said than done?
You know what? We developed our actors. And when you're a good actor, you can play anybody. But you got to do the work. You got to put the work in. And Rashawn Thompson, you got to start with a great foundation. And Rashawn Thompson plays Marvin Gaye. And he has a great foundation. He's a great singer. He's a very handsome guy. You have to study, you have to emulate, you have to do your research, and you have to work. You have to work to look like, to talk like, to act like that person, and you have to become that person on stage. And Rashawn is, he's outstanding. You know, if folks didn't know that Marvin wasn't here with us anymore, they would swear, is that him?
Where do you and the actors go to find that material? Because there's so much now that you can find out about Marvin Gaye, whether it be biographies or stories. But also, I mean, you can see some of the performances live on television.
Right.
Where do you find the material to accurately portray Marvin Gaye?
Well, you know, this is the age of technology. My goodness, internet.
You just stand there pressing play on YouTube over and over. But ain't no mountain high enough on a...
Come on. He raised his lip right there on that line. It's the world today. How we get our information is so quick, so fast, and it's so much. So it's out, it's there.
For you, what's special about this show? To bring this show back, to bring it back as 40th anniversary. You know, mm-hmm. It's obviously a popular show, and it's mm-hmm. going to be, like we said, money. But what is it about this show that you find special?
You know, I think what runs through all my shows, not only this show, but all of my shows, is that they have to be uplifting. They have to cross cultural boundaries. They have to help us realize that as human beings, we are so much more alike than we are different. And they help us to understand and respect that. And it tears down that bridge that is between us and helps us to just be who we are and be comfortable with that. And because of that, especially in today's environment, people need it. They're looking for it and they want it.
Well, the show is called The Marvin Gaye Story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend. It's on stage at the Black Ensemble Theater up at the 4400 block of North Clark Street through July 10th. Jackie Taylor is the founder of Black Ensemble Theater. She's with me tonight. She's my guest at the big table. We'll continue the conversation, talk about 1429 North Wells Street when we return. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. We're jamming out here on the Michigan Avenue, the Allstate's Showcase Studio, with Jackie Taylor. She's the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater Company, which we're going to talk about how it began. It's celebrating its 40th anniversary this year. The show, The Marvin Gaye Story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend, is on stage at the Black Ensemble Theater in Uptown through July 10th. Jackie, we mentioned 1429 North Wells. Before we get to that, let's talk about when did you first get into entertainment, into theater, into being an actress?
Oh, I think I was about 3 years old when I went into the closet and started talking to all these people and made up all these stories. And they thought I was really crazy, but I didn't care. And then I think my first stage appearance was... we did a Tom Thumb wedding when I was in kindergarten, and I really wanted to be the bride because she had a line, and her line was, "I do." And I kept telling the teacher, I want to be the bride. And she said, "No, you're the bridesmaid." And the bridesmaid doesn't have any lines. I just want you to stand there. And I was really upset, you know, because I really wanted a line.
Right.
And so I went out and I stood there like she told me to, and I didn't say anything. But then when the bride said, "I do," I said, "I do too." And it brought the house down. I said, "I was born to be on the stage." And that's how it all began.
That's how it began. That's a great origin story. It's a great beginning to a play, right? Right there. But for you, I mean, growing up in Chicago, Cabrini-Green, what was the resources available to you to get into theater, to learn more about the craft? Talk about your schooling and the idea of getting more serious about being an actress.
Well, you know, in Cabrini, like all poverty areas, there were resources. We had a lot of resources. Mr. Houston was a drama teacher at Seward Park, and it was a group of us. We were about 9 or 10, and we were throwing bricks through windows, having a great time, you know, passing the time away, throwing bricks, ha ha ha. And we threw a brick through the park, and Mr. Houston came out and started chasing us. And we all started running, and I was the slowest one. So I got caught. And Mr. Houston said, "Well, you know that you are destroying property." And I said, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it." He said, "No, no." He said, "You got two choices." He said, "When you destroy property, you can go to jail." He said, "And what you all are doing now, you're paving the way to go to jail." He said, "Or you can come up to my drama class and take drama, or I'll call the police." And I was like, didn't know what drama class was, but
I'll take drama class. Right.
Said, "I'm coming to your drama class, Mr. Houston."
And what kind of drama class was? What do you remember about it?
Oh, well, I got to act. I got to, in fact, he was doing The Wizard of Oz, and I got to play Dorothy. And it was the greatest thing in the world. I was like, and he taught me about self-confidence, and he taught me about, and then I went to the schools in my area, St. Joseph School, where the nuns nourished that creativity, you know, because I was crazy. And I had to have the focus all the time, and they couldn't control their classroom because I controlled it. So they gave me the gym and said, "Hey, look, you can write, you can act, you can do whatever you want as long as you do your work. And then we'll give you the last hour of school and we'll give you some kids and you can do whatever you want to do." So I wrote shows and put on what we called spirit days. And we had them every week. Every Friday we put on a show.
I mean, it's such a great, again, where this is the, I have dibs on the Jackie Taylor story. Right. I have dibs on that story. All right, so let's flash forward to, you know, in the story and the stuff that I was reading about you, you know, you had a couple of acting opportunities, Cooley High being one of them here mm-hmm. in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It was like the mid-70s. And right. And out of that experience, you realized that you wanted to continue to do it, but there weren't a lot of options at that point. So that's really how the Black Ensemble Theater began.
Well, you know, with Cooley High, I'd got a contract with American International Pictures. And I was able to, work with that company. And I, you know, my goal was to be the first African-American woman to win the Academy Award. I wasn't thinking about a theater company. And in that experience, I really was faced with systematic racism in a way that I had never experienced it before. Now, I experienced it all my life growing up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But in the way that I experienced it as a professional actress, making movies and the kind of things that they wanted me to say and the kind of things that they wanted me to do. And there was a script about Cabrini, and I lived in Cabrini, and I was like, "We don't talk like that. We don't act like that. What the hell are you doing?"
Yeah, right.
And I wanted the writers to change it, and they told me to shut up. And this is it's not about telling the truth. It's about making money. And they wanted me to perpetuate the violence. And at that time, I was also a school teacher, and I had taught thousands of kids from Cabrini, and I had taught them nonviolence, self-respect, love your fellow man. And if they had seen me in those roles that they wanted me to play, they wouldn't be able to say, it would have destroyed everything.
For you to have been to go into Hollywood at that point, this was blaxploitation.
Right. This was the black exploitation
time,
period.
Right.
So I decided, okay, do I want to perpetuate this nonsense and make this money, or do I want to make a difference? And I decided, no, I got to make a difference. It's not about money. It's about filling good about who you are and leaving this life feeling like you added some value to it.
Jackie Taylor's my guest tonight. She's the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary. We're talking about the origins of that theater company. Let's take a quick break for the news. We come back, we'll pick up with starting that company, trying to create a theater company that had positive roles for African Americans, and talk about the theater in Chicago at that time. Jackie Taylor, my guest tonight. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. With you till 11 o'clock tonight. My guest at the big table, Black Ensemble Theater founder, Jackie Taylor. The show, The Marvin Gaye Story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend, is at the theater in Uptown on the 4400 block of Clark Street through July 10th. It's the 40th anniversary of the Black Ensemble Theater. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, 40 years.
You don't look a day over 40.
Well, thank you, dear. I believe you.
Let's talk about the beginnings of the Black Ensemble Theater, 1976, 1429 North Wells. Talk about making that move and starting a company, this company.
Well, that's very interesting because I was actually walking down the street and I said, you know, I'm going to start a company. I'm going to start a theater company, and I want to be able to control the images that come out about African-American people. So I was walking down the street in my neighborhood because I lived right, that's right in Cabrini. Mm-hmm. And I said, God, I need a theater. And I looked up and it said Theater for Rent.
Again, the story, the Jackie Taylor story.
And I said, thank you. And I went in and I told the guy that I wanted to start a theater company. It's a black theater company. And I told him the whole story. And he took out a sheet of paper and he started. He said, yeah, I'll rent you the theater. He said, let me see. The lights are $450. The sound is $250. The seats, I'm going to charge you $150 for that. If you want to use the concession stand, you want to use the box office. He said, oh, yep. So about $900 a month,
wow.
I'll rent the theater to you. I said, well, how much are you getting now? And he said, well, it's empty. I said, yeah, I'll give you $200 and you're going to give me everything on that damn sheet. And that was the end of that. I got the theater.
I was going to say, $900. That's great. That's how you do it. For everyone out there who wants to negotiate with a theater owner, if it's empty, there you go.
There you go.
So how long did you stay at 1429?
2 years.
And what kind of plays were you putting on stage at that point?
Well, at that point, I produced, my first play was The Other Cinderella, and because I starred as Cinderella. So it ran for 2 years. So we were there for 2 years. And I had a lot of great people behind me. I had people like Irv Kupsnet and his wife, Essie Kupsnet. Mm-hmm. Who God rest their soul, but they were highly influential in because they believed
they supported you, yeah.
in the mission, and they got their friends to support the theater. So and Sidney Poitier was one of Irv's friends, and he called and said he would.
What was that like?
It was crazy because I was like, this ain't no Sidney Poitier. Who is this? He said, yes, Miss Taylor, this is Mr. Poitier, and Mr. Kupsnet asked me to call you and to talk with you. I'd like for you to come down to the set. And you know, him and Bill Cosby were producing all those movies here in Chicago. So I went down to the set and I talked to him about the Black Ensemble Theater. And he was my first celebrity that made a substantial donation to the company. And I was also, I'm also an actress in theater. And at that time, I was performing all over town in various roles. And Dennis Zajac invited me to Victory Gardens and said, hey, I want you to perform here and you can also produce your theater company in my little theater. And I was like, that's a good deal. So I worked there. And then Stuart Gordon from the Organic Theater he said, hey, I want you over here. So I got a little theater. So
let me ask you, I mean, you're mentioning some luminaries when it comes to the history of Chicago off-loop theater. Mm-hmm. What was it like? I mean, thinking back to that time, what was it like? How has it changed? I'm just, give us an inside glimpse to the idea of the community that was Chicago theater at that time.
There is no community like Chicago theater in the world. None like it. It was like what it is today. It's very inclusive, very supportive, very interactive and sharing resources, very daring. I've done a lot of theater and I've been a lot of places, and no other theater community in the world, and that includes the NYC, compares to the theater community.
Why did
Chicago.
You stay here? Why did you stay in Chicago? I mean, as someone who had
it their was
sights
so
on Hollywood.
Vibrant. It was just so alive. It was just so much going on, and the community kept me here. I mean, I always had a job. I always had a place for my theater. It was just the best place to be. It was so much to do, and films were coming here, so it was no need to go anywhere. Everybody has this great dream of Broadway, and what we have here is so much better than what they have there.
How, you know, for you making the transition to start your own theater company because of what you saw in terms of racism, systemic racism, when it came to blaxploitation films, and when you got into theater here, what were the opportunities for African Americans? I mean, you started your own company, but not only what were the opportunities for actors and creatives who wanted to be in the theater community, but also the audiences that were coming to see your stuff.
Well, you know, first of all, people have a fallacy that black people don't go to the theater, and that's just crazy. Our community we had the first Shakespearean theater in 1898 here in Chicago. It was African-American. So it's, you know, that's a fallacy. But the theater community was quite vibrant. It was all kinds of, at that time, the Goodman was doing what was considered to be a real revolutionary thing, not starring, but putting black people on their stage. You know, they lost 50% of their audience.
Really?
Yes, because they were doing shows like To Be Young, Gifted, and Black by Lorraine Hansberry. And at that time, you know, that was revolutionary.
This would be late 70s, yeah. 80s, early
80s. Late 70s. It was people like Rock Schoeffer and Greg Mosier and I mentioned Dennis, I mentioned Stewart, but I mean, these were minds who thought past color, you know, they were interested in great theater, you know, and it wasn't about race. It was about the message and the strength of the piece. And so Dennis produced a lot of African-American theater, not because he was thinking, oh, I want to produce black theater so I can get the grants. No, he was producing it because it was great theater.
Well, it's also, I mean, the stories.
That's what I'm saying.
Black ensemble theater included. I mean, the stories that you're talking about, Jackie Wilson, Marvin Gaye. But there are a lot of stories that go along with
Absolutely.
Black theater.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, racism is systematic. We've been taught to think that African-Americans are less. And that's just a lie. And that our culture is based off of white culture. It's a lie. We have our own stories. We have our own greatness. We have our own culture that should be accepted and be side by side, and it's emulated in a lot of ways. People don't they somehow do not admit to it, but when it comes to African American culture, when we start something, it's emulated. All of a sudden, it becomes part of the regular, you know, the walk of life. So people just have to understand, we got to get out of this mentality of looking at each other through racial eyes, because that's not what it's about.
Jackie Taylor is the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater, celebrating their 40th anniversary. Right now on stage, the Marvin Gaye story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend. It's being remounted. It's on stage through July 10th in Uptown at the Black Ensemble Theater. Okay, we'll take our last break, and we'll continue our conversation here on The Big Table. Stay with us. It's The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight, Black Ensemble Theater founder Jackie Taylor, celebrating 40 years here in Chicago. Amazing feat. A lot of theater companies, they don't make it to 10 years. Make it to 15. If you know, you'll see a 20, and everyone's like, oh my God. 40 years. What does that mean to you to be able to do theater here in Chicago for 40 years?
You know what? I looked at my pension the other day. I was like, hey, this is all right. So, hey. So it's very rewarding. It really is. And it makes me very proud of my city. It really does. It makes me very proud of my community, because you can definitely make a very wonderful, strong career. And not only that, but you can provide jobs for others on a consistent basis that they might not have. So
for all the people that come through, actors, but also technicians, other people, administrators.
Absolutely. You know, with the new Black Ensemble Theater Cultural Center, we tripled our staff to 28 full-time, and I don't know how many part-time. And it puts a lot of people to work, because we have maintenance, we have security, we have cleaning. We have an in-house doctor sometime, you know, so it puts a lot of folks to work and gives and provides opportunities. And to be able to do that for 40 years. And now we're looking at what we're calling our 2020 vision, Free to Be, where we are going to expand into the next 25 years. And we intend to bring to Chicago some exciting ventures that we'll talk about at another time.
You got to come back. What I love about the mission of Black Ensemble Theater, and there's a lot of mission statements, and you see that around Chicago with a lot of theater companies, a lot of big lofty words thrown around, and you're like, I think I know what this means. but for a long time, and it's been a pretty simple sentence, mm-hmm. that the Black Ensemble Theater exists to eradicate racism.
That's it.
How does theater go about doing that?
You know, theater is transformative and it's educational. The more we understand about each other, the better we can accept each other. Theater brings people together. It helps them to accept and substantiate their likeness as human beings. It tears down that wall. So it's a lot of ways that theater and the arts in general can be used to help decrease the inaccuracies that exist in our society. I'm a prime example. I'm from a community of violence, a community of poverty, and what brought me out of that community was the arts. What helped me I love my community, I embrace my community, I'm proud of where I grew up, but what helped me to not embrace the poverty and the violence was that the arts taught me that I could be whatever it was that I wanted to be.
The newer generation, I mean, obviously you do a lot of outreach and a lot of workshops and you take on that issue. But there are a lot of young Chicagoans that are coming up, you know, that are faced with more and more violence, that are faced with poverty. How do you get the arts to them when governments, agencies, grant makers, so many different people are cutting back. The economy goes sour, and those are the first things to go. From you, your vantage point as an educator, as an artist, as someone who has held this job for 40 years, how do you get the arts to somebody in that community?
First of all, we have to embrace the arts that are already there. The arts are there. It's definitely a sculptor, a singer, a dancer, a poet. We have to support what's there. It's, you know, racism is systematic. It's embedded in the culture. And the one of the major things that happens is that with ignorance, we start taking away those things that are vital to our existence, like the arts. So people have to realize, governments have to realize, the educators have to realize the arts are a vital part of education. They're not separate from it. They are part of it. And when you take it away, it takes away the ability of many students to learn, because you learn through the arts. You have to focus, you have to listen, you have to concentrate, you have to remember. Those are skills that you need not only to learn, but in the arts. You have to focus, you have to listen, you have to concentrate, and you want to.
Right.
So when that starts happening, you're able to transfer those skills to something else that you need in your life. So when we take away the arts, we're taking away a vital aspect of how we're able to exist as human beings, and we're destroying ourselves.
40 years as a as the founder and CEO of Black Ensemble Theater, do you see a day in the short future where you step away from the theater, where you say, this was okay, that was a great career, you know, time for something else, maybe time to retire? I mean, what are you thinking about for the next
retire? Retire?
I didn't mean to say.
Don't cuss me out, Justin. What are you talking about,
I'm saying,
man?
What's the next step for Jackie Taylor? I mean, 40 years running a theater company.
Well, listen, you know, no one lives forever, unfortunately. And with the world is the way the world is today, I don't know who would want to live forever. So what I'm doing is creating a foundation that will allow for Black Ensemble Theater to continue outside of Jackie Taylor. So if Jackie Taylor wants to go away with her 30-year-old boyfriend somewhere, okay, he's not really 30, but you know, I can dream, can I? Anyway, if I want to, whatever I want to do, I will be able to do that with the understanding and the foundation that I have built for the Black Ensemble Theater to continue outside of me. I do not have founder's syndrome. I don't want to hold on to this damn thing forever, because I'm going to grow old. I'll be about 97, 98, but by that time I'll probably claim, okay, I'm old.
All right.
But I want for it to survive. And the only way that it can survive is to transcend me.
Well, I can't think of a Black Ensemble Theater without Jackie Taylor. And I mean, that's a good thing. Jackie Taylor is the founder of the Black Ensemble Theater here in Chicago, celebrating the 40th anniversary. On stage now, the Marvin Gaye story, Don't Talk About My Father Because God Is My Friend. It's a remount. It's on stage till July 10th at the Black Ensemble Theater on Clark Street. Jackie Taylor, thanks so much for coming in, sharing your story, and being my guest tonight at the Big Table.
It's been my pleasure, Justin, really. I love it. Thank you.